Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
Bob and Tom comedy bits? Check. Willie Griswold? Check. Jess Hooker? Check. Jessica Alsman? Check. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Thank you, Chick. Welcome to the Bits and Pieces Podcast, where we revisit our favorite Bob and Tom show comedy bits. I'm Willie Griswold, joined as always by Jess Hooker, Jessica Alsman, Jason Hofstetz. Today we're talking air travel. We're getting high in the sky on our own supply. I couldn't think of a third rhyme. I went the wrong way. I haven't traveled by plane in over a year. I don't think I miss it at all, to be honest.
Oh, I love it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think I flew three times last year.
Did you really?
In the past year.
I only did in January, right before it hit.
I was February right before it hit, but then two times after that.
Yeah. I did the week that they closed the country down, I was in four different airports.
Oh, yeah. Dang. That's right. Yes.
What a terrible time.
I know. And then we got contact traced because we were on Capitol Hill that week. And
oh, my goodness.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, I haven't been on a plane. I don't miss it. I kind of miss drinking in the airport. That's maybe one of my favorite things to do in the world.
You know what?
Get there a little early.
Like your Uncle Chick.
You get to the airport, you have a little bit of time. Uh-huh. I go, the Chili's to go in O'Hare was a favorite place of mine. You get yourself a margarita, you get a bowl of chips and queso.
That chips and salsa.
Yes.
Nothing compares to the Chili's chips and salsa.
All right.
You get to loosen up a little bit before your flight.
Wait, so you stay calm, you drink, you can relax, you go one place, and then you go to your, you know, terminal and you fly away. You're fine.
Yeah.
I am so neurotic. If I have to wait, I will pace up and down for a while, basically visit the entire airport. Why not? Because I don't want to sit by strangers. Too afraid to go in stores for some reason. So badly, like this was so bad that in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I think they marked me as a potential, you know.
A threat?
Yes.
There's an I
was carrying around this package trying to find stamps, and then I had all these stamps, and I was like, sweet, but then there's nowhere to mail it, and I bought a pocket knife from Waldrug.
Oh my gosh.
South Dakota. You got to go to Waldrug.
Yep,
whatever.
Yep.
And then I was like, I can't take this on the plane with me because I didn't check anything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, where do I mail it? I want in and out of the airport, up and down every place.
It can't be that big of an airport.
It is not.
A lot of
people saw me.
Mm-hmm. So you're probably on a list somewhere.
I went through security check, and I barely stepped in line. They're like, yeah, you're going to step over here. And I was sweaty. Because of all the pacing and nervousness.
It didn't help that there was white powder coming out of the corner. Right.
I should have just threw it away, but if I did, they'd be like, well, what is this?
Oh,
or just try to get the knife on board. I don't know.
I am so comfortable at an airport that I don't go to the gate until they call my name the second time.
Are you joking?
Nope, I am that giant a-hole because I don't like to be on the plane until I absolutely have to be on the plane.
You know what? You guys are both... We're all different kinds of airport crazy.
So you obviously don't fly Southwest then.
Oh.
Because you'd be the last person.
I have done that with my family because we've gone a couple of places where Southwest was the only option.
Sure.
But when I'm with my family, I'm a little more polite, I think. Polite's probably the word because I do think it's a jerk move to wait.
Sure.
You just want to hear your name over the intercom, don't
I
you?
I do. That's me.
Jess Hooker.
Jess Hooker coming through.
Hooker. It's my real last name. I know. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Okay, well, let's get into our first bit before we talk any more airport stuff. This is a bit about if there was a big and tall for everything.
Man, I'm not looking forward to this flight.
Yeah, well, why is that?
Because I've gained like 40 pounds in the last year. And those damn seats are so small.
Oh, sounds like you should have flown on BTA.
BTA?
tired of trying to fit your substantial girth into airplane seats that are apparently designed for supermodels? Well, worry no more. Now there's an airline for people just like you. It's Big and Tall Airlines. Big and Tall Airlines has planes with spacious seating, really wide aisles, and extra long seat belts. From the minute you board our planes, you'll know Big and Tall Airlines has you in mind.
Big and Tall Flight 54 will now begin boarding. Passengers who need special assistance being pried through the doorway and people requiring forklifts will be boarded first.
The Big and Tall Airlines staff and crew know that our customer base is special, and they make allowances for that fact.
Remember, in an emergency situation, your seat cushion can be eaten. In the event of pressure in the cabin, masks will drop from the ceiling, which are made of chocolate with a delicious cream filling. Please, make sure to eat your own before eating your neighbor's.
Even our pilots are accommodating.
This is your captain speaking. I'd like to welcome you and say thanks for flying BTA this afternoon. Because of the number of really huge people on board, we'll be flying today at an altitude of 17 feet. Sit back, fasten your seatbelts, unbutton your pants, put on your bib, and enjoy the flight.
While some airlines are cutting back on snacks and meals, Big and Tall Airlines knows that you want and expect a variety of munchies.
Oh, yeah.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I'm a guy.
Sorry. May I offer you coffee, tea, or gravy?
Big and Tall Airlines understands what's important to you, and we tailor our flights accordingly.
Okay, folks, if you look out the right side of the plane, you can see an M&M factory. Coming up, you'll see the spot where nacho cheese sauce was invented.
Big and Tall Airlines is always thinking of you.
Attention, folks. The control tower has approved our final approach to the Wendy's drive-thru, so please buckle up like you normally do 23 hours a day. Please remain seated.
Big and Tall Airlines. Our jets are jumbo, and so are our passengers.
Big and Tall Airlines, everybody.
It was a little cruel, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit at the end there. So I'm going to go through the cast list of that.
Okay.
Some familiar voices. Tim, what's his last name?
Deniston.
Tim Deniston.
Big voice.
He was the announcer. I heard Salji as the pilot, I believe.
Nope.
That wasn't Salji?
Nope.
Okay.
Dave Dugan.
Oh,
which
Dugan.
I thought was perfect. His voice is perfect pilot voice.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
They both have that sort of, yeah, I don't know, that very just straight man voice, I guess is the way to put it. And then, do you make a little appearance there, Jason?
Yeah, I'm the very first voice, along with Dean, I think.
Yes.
And I'm my best acting job ever, me acting overweight. Yes.
Jason wouldn't eat anything that could be, you know, bad for his body.
That's not true.
How much sugar is in this? How much salt?
I do look at salt.
Sodium is a big deal.
How much fake stuff is in it? Nitrates.
Don't like the fake
Jessica,
stuff.
Jessica, why are you eating all of this?
Nitrates are bad, yes.
Why are you just eating marshmallows?
that's one of my favorite parts. In The Sopranos, he's eating like, you know, he's eating gabagool, he's eating cured meats, and he's eating all these cheeses. And it's either Carmella or it's his kid Meadow just goes, you know that stuff's just full of nitrates. Makes me so happy. I'm glad that you brought that up. So Chick has always hated air travel, and he has hated stewardesses. That's the wrong term to use. What's the flight attendant?
Flight attendant. Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, sorry, I said that. I didn't mean to.
No, okay.
And now his daughter is a flight attendant.
His daughter is a flight
and
attendant.
And she taught us about the term elephant belt.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't. He said he wasn't familiar with
they
it.
They call it that?
They call it the elephant belt. I don't think they call it that all the time. But that is something that they say, yeah.
Internally. Yes.
Internally.
Okay. Well,
I'm guessing that they don't. I'm guessing they don't even say that internally anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I highly doubt it.
Well, I think they call it an elephant belt because, as a big guy, if you overhear the flight attendant saying that, you're never going to forget it.
No, nope.
You will always remember the animal she compared you to.
Yeah, so, and do you know who the flight attendant was on that flight?
I don't. I thought it was you.
No, it was not me.
You might not know her. I don't know.
I think you would.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, but. I mean, her office was where Drew is now. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, her name is Laura Gonzo.
Okay.
She worked here.
Yeah, definitely familiar.
Years. Yeah, yeah.
She was a big part of growing our affiliates in the late 90s as we went from 2 to 100 mm-hmm. or whatever it was,
and
at
into
the, time.
The 2000s,
and into the 2000s too. But she was a big part of, you know, yeah.
So that's
I love that you can have like a serious career here and help a lot of people. And then it's like, hey, by the way, you're great. We need you to play an obese person on an airplane. Oh, no, it's like a flight attendant on an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Whatever you've done here, no matter how important or how small, you're going to be remembered by what bit you did.
Yeah. Like when Jason retires, my dad will be like, he was great. He's most known for the burrito bit. Probably his greatest accomplishment here. Well, let's get into our next bit. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say, Jason?
No, I'm just going to say a lot of times there's bits now that I know that there was just gals that work in the back and accounting or whatever, and I have trouble putting a name to it. Sure. Now, if it was on an album, the lady's name might be on there and I could look, but man, there's times I'm like, I don't know who that is. I can kind of visualize who it was.
Jamie, but with a past like yours, you forget about all the ladies' names sometimes, you know?
There's a woman that we used to use on because she was just a salesperson at the time. But she was walking into work one day, and this was 10, 15 years ago. She was walking into this office, and I saw her walking in, and I was like, wow, she looks oddly familiar. Like that look, like whatever the look was that she, like whatever the outfit was. I don't want to be too specific, but in my brain I went, she looks like a stripper going to court. Like that was the look, and it wasn't on accident. I don't know if she was just like hungover every day and got her suit from Burlington or what, but like there was a whole vibe of like maybe there was some glitter in her hair and her makeup or whatever it was. And I was like, she looks like a stripper going to court.
No, there are some people like that. Whenever I go to a wedding, I look like I'm going to court. I don't look good
in
the
suit. Is your tie always a little bit loose? Yeah. Like, oh, don't make me wear this tie.
There's just some people, they can't pull that look off.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy can pull off a business suit. It's our favorite caller. It's our favorite person that calls in from the airport or most of the time from an actual airplane. It's a very early Kenny Tarmac bit.
We have a phone call. Morning, Bob and Tom.
You can have two carry-ons.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Kenny Tarmac.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, we just landed.
Uh-huh.
I'm an MCO today. Here's some news. Listen to my day I have to make now.
Uh-huh.
I have to make my connection. Right now, we're Airside 1, gate 16.
Uh-huh.
My connection?
Yeah.
Airside 4, gate 78.
Oh, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, do that math. Airside 1 plus Airside 4 equals not going to make it today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are you on your Bluetooth, Kenny?
That's a one-take trip. Yeah. Hey, my other phone is vibrating.
Uh-huh.
I keep it on vibrate so that way I won't annoy people. Hang on. I have to take this one.
Okay.
Hang on.
Oh, go ahead.
Kenny Tarmac. Hey, guy. Yeah, we just landed. Well, not yet, because we just landed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let's do this then. You call Tobik, tell him I talked to Caldwell, then we'll brief Carmen. Okay, then fax Morris. I'll see Sully at the seminar, then we'll all do lunch before the conference call. Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Yeah, easy like a zucchini martini, Bob. Yeah, I'm on hold with Bob and Tom again.
Uh-huh. Kenny.
Yeah, they couldn't believe I have to go from Airside 1 to Airside 4.
Yeah, we were astonished.
I should take a puddle jumper to Airside 4?
Uh-huh.
I know. They should give me 50 more sky miles just for taking the puddle jumper. Hey, Max, don't worry about Tobik. He's a teddy bear, okay? You tell him I said we've seen this movie before. Yeah. Yeah, just follow the flow chart and you'll be fine, guy.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I have an order on the other phone. I'm making magic here. Focus pocus, okay? I got to run. Okay.
Oh,
I'm back. Hey, God, is that guy long-winded? I tell you, I have to go from Airside 1 today.
Yeah, we heard that.
Airside 4, I have to run now. I wish I had time to talk all day. I just don't have that kind of time today.
All right. Well,
okay?
good luck, Kenny.
Yeah, Airside 4 is like miles away, and I'm at Airside 1. That's gate 16.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. I'll probably lose 5 pounds on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this flight was oh, my God.
What?
I don't believe it's him.
Uh-oh.
I'm looking up at first class now.
Uh-huh.
Is that him? Oh, it's Zig Ziglar. I gotta go.
Okay, so in an effort to carbon date that, he starts the call by saying, no, you're allowed to have two carry-ons. I don't think now you're even allowed to have one carry-on without paying $50 for extra bags.
You gotta be sneaky about it. You've gotta have like a fanny pack on and then a big purse and then you get your one carry-on.
You know what, Jess? Maybe That's this three. Is why you're on some sort of list somewhere, because you're sneaky with your
and
baggage.
Fully sweaty and nervous. And looking suspicious.
And then another thing about Kenny, he has two phones, which is something that I've only heard about drug dealers and rap songs having. You know, you got two phones, one for the plug, one for the hose.
There you go.
So it's very funny that Kenny was sort of...
Are you quoting a song, a lyric there or something?
I was. I believe I was. Okay. I'm sort of a hip-hop cat, if you will.
All right, all right.
By the way, if you have never had the experience of having a cell phone call with my dad around 1 p.m., that's pretty much it. That Kenny Tarbeck thing is pretty much it. Just he's repeating how busy he is and where he has to go. Oh my, it's so close. It's real, real close. What do you guys think?
Oh yeah, that's how Tom is. Is that what you're?
Yeah, or just yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
Oh, this drive-through. Oh. Going to Starbucks. Oh, anyway, Kenny, I love Kenny Tarmac so much.
So, so funny.
I love when he calls in. Absolutely love it. It's real.
What's a good analogy? You know, Donnie Baker gets all the press.
Sure.
Yeah. But Kenny's kind of the people's favorite, you know, sure. in a weird way.
He's like, I can't think. It's like, it's not Stairway to Heaven. It's Immigrant Song. It's
yeah,
dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Intense.
I got the song wrong. Someone's going to tweet at me.
We all know someone that's like that. If you worked in sales or in an office at all, you know that guy.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Dances when he walks.
And we have a couple more kiddies coming up. So.
Yeah. I have a lot of pet peeves, but in my top five are people who just talk too loud in public, like on a phone or whatever it is. And it really, really irritates
or
me.
Or right outside the studio here when Josh was recording his podcast the other day.
Was it me?
No.
Oh.
I had to go to the window and I'm like, hey, let's, you know, and there was someone loud that was nearby and I had to shoo him away.
He's shushed often.
Yeah. Some people, obviously we got radio people around here, so some voices kind of carry.
Okay, sure. In our defense, this door does not close all the way for some reason.
Yeah.
And half the time it's open because the air quality in here is it's either temperature issue or Tom being very afraid that COVID is
just paranoia is high. That's all.
Exactly.
Well, it was just one more to go back to Kenny real quick. I like how he speaks kind of poetically. We say this word on the podcast a lot. He uses alliteration because he was texting Tobik and he was going to see Soli at the seminar. And then he went into this weird rhyming bit. It's cool. It's like if you're a junior in high school, you could analyze the rhetorical tropes that Kenny Tarbeck uses. Which, by the way, do not do that. Your teacher will not appreciate it if you do that. If you're a kid out there, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, let's get into our next bit. This is one of my favorites. It's a First Bank bit.
To be honest, I'd never heard of the First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger.
This man came in and said he'd never heard of the First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger. We were immediately suspicious.
From the minute I walked in, everyone kept staring at me and making me feel like a criminal. Then the bank manager came over and grumbled, "How have you never heard of our bank?" I said, "I don't know. Search me."
We searched him, repeatedly and vigorously. Then we interrogated him about his intentions for entering our facility.
I told the manager that I had no money and needed a loan, so I wanted to see what the First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger could do for me.
The man claimed he had no money. We stuck our hands down his pants to make sure.
They asked me a couple of questions.
We asked the man, "Hey, is this a stick of dynamite in your underwear? And does it tickle when we touch you right here?"
Well, to make a long story short, they gave me the loan.
Really?
We gave the man some money, but we both felt dirty and used afterwards.
They handed me some cash and told me to keep moving. I left so fast, I almost forgot my shoes on the scanner. Thanks, First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger.
The First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger. Look for branches and strip malls across the metropolitan area. Bring all of your personal information in, then let us expose everything and take a long, hard look at what you've got. The First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger. You can feel safe by putting your assets in our hands.
The First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger. Member FDIC, TSA, get your hands up ASAP.
The First Bank that treats you like an airline passenger. I don't know. I don't mind the safety measures. To me, that seems like, and I'm not just saying my dad, but I'm saying that seems like such a dad problem in the same way of being like, you know, movies used to only cost a quarter. I feel like that's the same as being like, you're telling me I have to take my belt off and my shoes? You're telling me I need to take the laptop out of my bag? There's not that many rules. It's pretty simple.
I think that basically was a groping bit.
Yes.
That whole thing was basically
a griping?
A groping bit.
A groping bit?
Yeah. That's all that was.
Oh,
ass
sure.
Of the hand.
Oh.
We searched him.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And
done.
It was an odd one too that it had two outros. It had.
Oh yeah.
Chick doing the tag at the end, and then Dean did one on top of that.
Dean's was like a disclaimer, you know, the FDIC, TSA.
Okay. But a lot of times the same person will do all that.
Yeah.
That
well,
would
then
be, we wouldn't have heard Dean.
We should do a bit that's just all like the end of an advertisement.
Oh,
like one person's talking really fast, then another person talks faster, and then another person comes
yeah,
in.
That would be
funny.
Great.
I think it'd be silly.
That'd be great.
didn't do well in the room just now. But
I was like, the whole time I'm thinking about this is amazing. It's like, here's a product. And now 58 seconds of disclaimer.
Yeah, that's the idea. I'll give it a shot.
I feel like we have another bit that is like that. Like, and it was an inside joke where it was like, this is the end. Nope, this is the end. Nope, this is the end. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it could be probably a movie trailer.
Oh,
kind of
maybe
thing.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
specifically.
There was something kind of like that we already did.
I know.
Ah, crap.
Now
it's like, was it the water? Like, you can buy this water, but you're going to get sick, and then this is going to happen, and this. I don't know.
Well, we'll look it up. We'll do a little research.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to heat things up a little
prepared.
Bit. We're going to get a little bit hot and sweaty, but it's actually a different kind of Mile High Club.
Has this ever happened to you?
So, honey, are you flying for business or for pleasure?
I have an important meeting in Denver today.
Hey, that's great. Let me buy you a cocktail. Stewardess, two scotch on the rocks and keep them coming.
None for me, thank you.
Baby, has anyone ever told you you've got the most beautiful blue eyes?
My eyes are brown. Now, excuse me, I've got a report to finish.
And those legs of yours go all the way up to your neck, and your rack is fantastic. Are those real?
What are you doing? Stop that!
Come on, Toots. Give me a little sugar.
I didn't want to do this, but here goes.
Kinky. What is that? Some kind of baton or something?
Not exactly.
Ow! Stop!
Don't let your next flight be ruined by that annoying loser in the seat next to yours. New from Frigamall Industries, it's the stout, heavy stick suitable for use as a weapon. And it's FAA approved. We call it the Mile High Club. The Mile High Club. Get yours today.
Hey, mister, could you move to another seat? You're squishing my little brother and me.
Yeah, you're a porker.
Hey, kid, are you going to eat those peanuts?
Well, I am pretty hungry.
Thanks. You don't mind if I take my shoes off, do you? Oh, boy, my feet are really sweaty.
I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, that's the ticket.
Man, that stinks.
Hey, do me a favor. Pull my finger.
I don't like that trick.
Come on, do it.
Well, okay. My eyes are burning. I want my mommy.
Whoa, that's wicked. What do you think of that, kid?
What do I think? Let me show you what I think.
Oh, you made me myself.
Now, give me back my peanuts, butt face.
The Mile High Club works on even the most obnoxious passengers.
Hey, Shooter, it's Kid Tarmac. Hey, guy, I'm glad I got you on the phone. Yeah, well, I just boarded. I'm at ATL on my way to CLT. Yeah, I've got an ETA of 6 Eastern, but I call it 5:45. We'll make time in the air. I know. Well, I've got the laptop out, and I thought we could go over those spreadsheets. Hang tight, got another call. Ken Tarmac, it's corporate. Better take it. Ken Tarmac, yeah, I just boarded at ATL. I'll get you those samples ASAP. You bet. Bye-bye. Hey, Shooter, still there? I'm back. Now, where were we?
Excuse me, sir.
Hey, Shooter, hang tight. Give me a sec. No, I just have an elderly woman in the seat next to me poking me in the ribs. I know. Hang tight. What can I do for you, Mamaw?
Would you mind hanging up that cell phone? We're about to take off.
Well, if you don't mind, I've got important business going on here. I'm prepping for a webinar. I mean, don't you have some knitting to do, Mamaw?
You're giving me a migraine headache.
Lady, at your age, that's the least of your worries.
You have to be the rudest, most ill-mannered.
Well, what's bothering you, Mamaw? Afraid you're going to miss Jell-O night at the nursing home?
Why, you little bastard.
One of those liver spots, or you playing backgammon? Did you hear what I told her, Shooter? I know. Oh! I'm down to two
bars.
Shooter, Ken will call you when he gets to CLT. I just KO'd the little SOB, and now he's SOL. BFF Shooter. Bye-bye.
The Mile High Club, endorsed by a couple of guys who know clubs.
Hello, I'm Bart McAllister, Korean War veteran and security expert. And now with my longtime sidekick, Sid Gurney.
Hi, fans.
We're going to put this new Mile High Club through a series of tests. Ready, Sid?
Sure. What do you need me to do?
Test number one. Is it strong?
Ouch! What are you doing, Bob?
Test number two. Does it have a good grip?
Ow! Stop it! Have you lost your mind?
Test number three. Is it strong enough to break a bone?
Oh, my God! My shin!
Well, is it Gurney?
Yes!
Well, there you go. The Mile High Club available at Weaponland. Read the rest of the tag, Gurney.
Weaponland, home of the steel-toed boot.
Shut up!
The Mile High Club. Get yours today.
You know, some bitches make you proud of your father. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, Gurney!
Yeah, it's pretty great. The Mile High Club. Pretty fun. I just like a little pun like that. Mile High Club. Hey, it's one thing, now it's another. Let's roll with it. What do y'all think?
There are a lot of people in that. There are a lot of characters. That's a lot.
Fun cameos.
Yeah. Let's not even worry about a lot of them, but Chick was the weirdo, obviously. We had Kenny in there. I love a good cameo like that. The kids. I don't think I was any of those children. Was it there a Nikki Rohrman by any chance? What do you guys think?
I think it was you, man. I think it was you and Sam.
I think it was you and Sam.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or did they take one voice and make it higher?
No, the first one is Sam, the second one's you.
I had Tom listen yesterday.
Aww. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because I knew your voice.
I thought it. Well, here's the thing. I think this bit came out in 07. How old were you in 07?
2007. That's the year before Sam graduates high school, so I'm like 13.
So here's the funny part about it. This was recorded many years prior.
Oh.
Okay. And they eventually put Kenny in there and a few other things, but because it came out on the album we just landed, it fit with that whole theme.
Gotcha.
So they kind of pulled stuff out of the archives, if you will, and worked you and Sam's voices into the bit. At that point of 07.
But
because I was doing the math too. I'm like, this can't be Sam and Willie. They're too old.
When it came out, right.
But because I thought it might be Alan's kids.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who records for us over at the shack.
I thought it might be Max for a little while. I was just trying to think of who lines up right.
And Alan said, no, it's not my kids. So I'm like, okay. So then I listened to it with Tom yesterday. And we go, yeah, I think that's my boys.
So, that is so fun. Was there a girl voice in there? Or was that just me?
I think it was you.
Gosh,
my tiny little voice.
Of our cast of characters, there was Sid. Mm-hmm. Gurney, right?
Yep. Sid and Bert, yeah.
Yes,
Bart.
And Bart, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Kenny Tarmac. Uh-huh. But who did it start with?
Early on was like a love brother.
Oh, that's what
it was.
That
was kind of a love brother type, which oddly enough might have been the same guy who played the intern, Sid Gurney.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
One of the Graysons. And I'll say, go back a bit. One of his brothers was the main voice on the First Bank.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, that was Barkley, who...
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to get all this done. He was one of the Electric Amish.
Yeah.
Lots of connections.
So the other one is Wit?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, so the high little voice, Sid Gurney, that's not my dad?
No.
I have always thought that was my dad.
No.
That's so funny.
That is funny.
Really?
That's
because he does. Because he is right in that voice that he does when he gets in that little high register.
No, not him.
Well, hey, I don't know nothing.
but yeah, there were a lot of voices. One voice, I won't say the name. I'll just say it was number three.
Here we go. That works. All right, cool. Well, let's move into our last. This is my this bit. Here we go. We said we love bad puns. We love bad puns. This is one of my favorite movies with Samuel L. Jackson. It's Snacks on a Plane.
Huh? It's the scariest movie of the summer. And it's new from Bob and Tom Pictures.
Hey, thanks for the ride to the airport, Tom. You're a pal.
No problem, Chick. I gotta tell you, you're looking really good, man. You've lost, 70, 80 pounds? I gotta hand it to you.
Thanks, Tom. You know, one day at a time. I've been watching what I eat, working out a little bit. Really, finally taking charge of my food intake.
Just when you think you know what's happening.
Have a good flight, Chick. I mean, stick. See you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Get ready for the horror at 20,000 feet.
Here's your pillow, Mr. McGee, and your Diet Pepsi. Would you like a cookie, sir?
Oh, no thanks, miss. I'm fine.
Oh, and sir, we do have donuts.
Donuts?
Donuts.
Thanks, but no.
And Mr. Griswold sent this aboard the plane for you. Oh. It's a special triple chocolate cake.
Ooh. Triple chocolate cake with a Washington Redskins logo? No. No thanks.
And Mr. Griswold sent all of these special items, and he said to say happy birthday.
It's not my birthday. Oh, my God. Those are Little Debbie snacks. And those are Krispy Kreme donuts. Is that... Yes, it's cheesecake.
Bob and Tom present Chick McGee in the biggest Fright Flight flick of the summer.
Oh, no, not Dilly Bars.
Snacks on a plane.
I want a Dilly Bar and a bowl of Ben and Jerry's and three of those donuts.
Snacks on a plane.
Oh, my God, somebody please stop him.
I am so sick. I'm tired of these mother snacks on this mother plane.
Snacks on a plane. Only from Bob and Tom Television. And coming soon.
Look out for that rake!
Huh? Rakes on a plane. From Bob and Tom Pictures.
Is there a rake in the aisle?
Why would there be a rake on a plane? Oh, that's real. That's real silly.
It's funny, when I went through this and played that bit, I thought, my gosh, for like 15 years, we always added a tag on the end of something so silly. And for a while, it was the same one, which kind of, we have to cut those out now. Circus of
we're there.
So, it's just a textbook silly Bob and Tom bit.
Yeah. Just away from the bit and more on the theme, I don't love the snacks that they have on planes, but I do like those tiny little bottles that you can get of booze.
Yeah.
What are they called? Nips? Do you guys have a fun name for those?
I just call them baby booze.
I called them what I drink in the morning. Those were my starters. I kept those with me all the time.
We're having fun. We're all just having fun. We're talking about fun stuff is what we're doing.
Just a hot tip on airplane snacks. The Biscoff cookies, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Little French vanilla ice cream in the middle. Put them in the freezer for an hour. You have a beautiful homemade ice cream sandwich. Mm.
So you buy the cookies that they give you on airplanes and you take them home to make
treats
with? Yes,
you can buy them in bulk at Costco.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Biscoff. And I have a plug for airline cookies if I want them.
Really?
Well.
Oh.
Chick's daughter.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Yes. That's good. Yeah, she steals a lot from the airlines.
Yeah,
let's
she
get
does.
That, let's get that out
Those
there.
Cookies taste good, but they're kind of oily. There's something really...
Yeah.
I don't know. They coat your mouth.
And, I like them. Yeah. But I'm on this really hot homemade ice cream sandwich tip right now. Like, I just keep making them out of different stuff.
Do you ever do a pancake instead of an actual cookie for the sandwich?
No, but I'm going to now.
It's great. It's a really good idea. It's a really smart. It's probably the smartest thing I've ever invented, pancake related. Besides,
how did that happen?
Scrambled pancakes, which is also genius. You make a pancake, scramble like scrambled eggs, pretty good. How did the pancake ice cream sandwich happen? Uh-huh. Just motivation. Right. Motivation. Inspiration. You know, you can do anything if you want. You put your mind to it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's what I've always said.
Right. That and a lot of marijuana.
Oh, okay. I figured that was a given. Sometimes I look for inspiration in plant-based
there
forms.
There you go.
Let's get into our next bit. This is about that Flight 1549, the guy that landed the plane in the Hudson in New York City.
Yeah, Sully Sullenberg or whatever. Yeah.
Is he a Purdue grad, by the way?
He got a master's from Purdue, yes.
Got it.
But he's one of those guys, you know, that has... two or three, four other degrees.
Sure. Well, that's...
he got one of them at Purdue, yeah.
That's sort of a fun fact that a lot of people know, but not a lot of people know. Kenny Tarmack was actually on that flight. So let's take a listen.
Cactus 1539 hit birds. We've lost thrust on both engines. Returning back towards LaGuardia.
Okay, you need to return to LaGuardia. Turn left heading up 220.
Hey, shooter, let's shake it. It's Ken Tarmack. No, we haven't landed yet. I'm in mid-flight. Well, Fontaine said if you go to the lavatory, you can make phone calls all day long and it doesn't create interference.
I know. 1529, which engine?
No, that's just a myth.
Which engines?
It's all bunk.
Got it.
No, I do it all the time, but only in emergency. I don't want to be rude.
Land 1013.
Well, I just want to make sure that I get those reports in my inbox before we land. I got to have those bad boys. I have a 20-minute turnaround. I'm going to hit it, quit it, and then I'm back on another plane.
It's going to be left traffic to runway 20.
Yeah, say what? Speak up.
Okay, what do you need to land?
I can barely hear you, Mike.
15.9,
runway 20. No, I'm getting some interference. I don't, are you on a cell? No, I'm hearing a lot of chatter about birds and runways and a bunch of stuff.
Okay, yo, if you're
right. Yeah. Well, step away from who you're next to.
Try to go to Teterboro?
Yeah. Okay, no.
Empire.
No, say the mission statement so I know I got you.
Cactus 1520.
Hey, you nailed it. I'm proud of you, Shooter.
Does you need assistance?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It was.
No, there's that damn interference. No, somebody else is cutting in. Listen.
1529, turn right.
Can you hear me? I can barely hear you.
We can't do it.
What do you mean you can't do it, Mike? I'm sick and tired of I can't do it. And what's this about the Hudson account? I thought that was done.
Yes, but not a lot of people know that Kenny was on that flight. Can you believe it?
I didn't know.
This is just a quick anecdote. That remember the movie that's based on what happened there with Tom Hanks? That movie came out very close to the movie Flight with Denzel Washington that came out, which was a fictional story of a guy landing a plane in a field or something. Anyways, one time I was watching that movie in college, the movie Flight, and my friend's boyfriend kept going, "This is based on a true story." And I was going, "No, it's not. It's based on a true story. It was in the news. It was a whole thing." And I was like Googling it, and I was like, "It's not." They're just yelling. And I think I just realized that he was maybe messing with me.
Aww.
I think I just figured out he was messing with me.
Okay.
I like that Kenny mentioned hit it and quit it.
Yeah.
He can take other terms that he's not.
We can turn anything into a sales term.
And it's a sort of a sales term, which made me think, we were talking about the Mile High Club earlier. Do you think Kenny ever hit the Mile High Club? Would he be the kind of guy that did that?
Yes. Oh,
he
I
had
bet.
To?
With any of the flight attendants. Like,
really?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he was probably taking a call while he was hitting it.
Oh, yeah.
Is he the kind of guy that mixes business and pleasure, do you think?
Maybe. I feel like he has to have a little bit of business involved in his pleasure.
He's a smooth talker.
Like a mullet.
Yeah. Yes. Like a mullet.
A little business in your pleasure, good sir. No, yeah. Yes. Jess, he is a smooth talker.
Yeah.
He speaks like a poet, you know?
Yeah, for
Jess,
sure.
Would you, if Kenny was like, "Hey, Jess, I got something to land." What would
no.
you do?
Well,
Or would you?
Well, one thing is that I have traveled with Kenny. We've logged a lot of miles together over the years. I would have to say no because he's my friend, but I am a card holding member of the Mile High Club.
Oh,
like a laminated card or
well, I made
is
it
there,
myself.
Is there no wrapper on the card? Oh, you made it yourself? Okay.
You mean they give those to you when you get off the plane?
Do people clap?
You get to get off first, and everybody claps and you wave.
Dude, I knew a guy.
Wait, you got off first? That's actually really rare.
Jess, this is not a joke. I knew a guy that made himself a laminated V card.
No way.
He was a proud virgin.
Yeah.
It was very important to him that he was a virgin.
Oh, okay.
And so he made himself a little card with a V. It was a symbolic thing, and then he laminated it.
And when he gets on the plane, does he, hand it, shows
check
everybody?
Yeah, when he goes to bars, he shows that to ladies. Hey,
is he still a...
No fun games. I don't think so anymore.
Oh, okay.
I think now he did the thing that he had to do it. But yeah, whole thing.
Did he put a big void stamp on top of it?
Yeah, he got it notarized. And he got it, ripped it up in front of a notary.
Turned it into a W, added another one. It's like, yes. Wait, so I want to know, Mile High, where do you go to do the Mile
There's
High
two,
Club initiation?
There's only two places, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, cockpit.
They call it
funny.
The lav is the term. Turns out there was a group of missionaries that were asleep on a very early flight, and first person went back, and I followed that person and did what we needed to do, and it was over.
Dang.
And then when you came out, they woke up. And,
everybody was still asleep,
and they woke up and.
Well, I'm just concerned about this poor missionary that you deflowered.
One of them is listening. Like,
no, I know.
Nice. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a stranger on a plane.
Strange. That's pretty hot, I gotta say. Well, now we're gonna circle back a little bit. We're going back to the Hudson, and we're saying, what if my dad was working a different job on that same day?
Welcome to the exciting new show where we take celebrities and put them in a high-stress job to see how they do. It's So You Wanna Be an Air Traffic Controller. This week, we've invited famous national radio host Tom Griswold into the control tower. Oh, let's see how he does.
Cactus 1539 is returning back towards LaGuardia.
This is Tower Cactus. We have you on radar. But hold on. I got to take this. The boys are home with the dogs. It's very complicated.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello? Uh-huh. Look, I told you, the dogs need to be let outside at least once an hour. You two are going to have to immediately disinfect the entire house. Call Mark. Have him get a crew over there right away.
Cactus 1539 hit first. We've lost trust on both ends. We may end up in the Hudson.
Oh, yeah? Well, my son Charlie just lost the remote control for the TV. Speaking of TV screens, these computer screens in here are way too small.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to use these things? Hobbits? Mm-hmm. We'll have to have PJ come over here and make all the fonts about 20 times bigger. Whoever designed this building should be shot. How was anyone supposed to... Wait, what the hell's that?
Tom, it's an emergency. Hit that red button right away.
That one?
Yes.
No way. Not till I get some Lysol or Germex in here. That thing looks filthy. Probably covered with fecal matter and hantavirus. I'm going to go wash my hands right now.
Tom!
Watch out, Tom. I don't think those buttons have been properly sterilized. Tom is cleaning up the skies on So You Want to Be an Air Traffic Controller.
We can't do it. Unable. We're going to be in the Hudson.
Really? You think you're having a bad day? I've got a million things going on. I have to get over to the gym in 20 minutes. You want to wrap it up, Chatty Cathy? Hello? Well, since this conversation is going nowhere, here's a funny bit from Haywood Banks to take your mind off the crash landing in the water. Oops, wrong button. That's a bass sword. Whoops. That's a phone ring. Sorry about that. Whoops. It's the Homeland Security button to dispatch the F-16 jets.
Don't miss So You Want to Be an Air Traffic Controller. Coming to a television set near you soon.
There might be funnier Bob and Tom bits than that, but there has never been a more accurate Bob and Tom bit than that bit. That is exactly what would happen if my dad had any other job.
Gosh, he worked them all in. They should be shot. Got to get the fonts enlarged with PJ. Oh, my gosh. Every single thing.
Get Mark and a crew.
Yep.
Charlie lost something.
Disinfect.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
My gosh.
Yeah.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. He is truly, truly a weirdo. Truly a big old weirdo. Yeah, I could never. Could Jess, Jessica Alsman. Actually, I think all three of you would probably be okay working air traffic control. Huh. I never could.
100%. I feel like I'm running a small air traffic control in my house at all times anyway. Yeah. That's just how we run. Like, you don't know. There could be lights on any time of day. People are screaming. Dogs are puking. Mm. I stepped in full barefoot dog puke yesterday morning.
Oh, no.
I texted your dad and I was just like, I'm not going to be late, but I'm definitely not going to be early. With a dog emergency, Tom is always very understanding.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And also, I liked how you were saying things, and it just got so specific that you were like, I stepped in dog puke, you guys. It was.
Yesterday, I'm still, like, I still feel like it's between my toes. And then we did that story about the toe sucker. And yes. I was like, no, oh, it feels like dog puke. That in my brain, that's exactly where I went. I was like, oh, that's so gross. But anyway, yes, our life is I would be able to manage it. I'm very good at managing other people's lives.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Codependence? Maybe.
I think one inaccuracy was Tom would be, he would be questioning, I shouldn't say inaccuracy, but if he were an air traffic, he would. Why is he coming in like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There'd be a lot of questioning.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. That's the thing. Tom has a beautiful way of critiquing/criticizing you, but also like, I'm going to present this as a parent. I'm going to ask you if you know how crappy you're doing right now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
That's brutal. Got a little flashback to middle school.
Sorry about that, buddy.
No, we're fine. Well, let's get into our last bit, and then we'll goof around a little more. It's back to our favorite. It's Kenny Tarmac, and he's getting cornered at the airport.
Bob and Tom show.
Bob and Tom, it's Kenny Tarmac.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, guy, we just landed.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm an ATL. I just got in from TPA through LAX. What's new there?
Oh, not much. I'm a police officer here.
I'm getting off the plane. I'm getting on the tram. Then I'm hitting the Starbucks. And then I have a lot of things. I got to.
What?
Hey, Tarmac. Oh,
Oh, crap, guys. It's an old client of mine. I recognize his face, but I forget his name.
Oh, I hate
that. Oh.
He's a big-timer, too. Spent a lot of money with this last year. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. This won't take long. Uh-huh. I've got to reach into my Zig Ziglar bag of tricks trying to figure out this guy's name.
Okay. Go ahead. Go
ahead.
Uh-huh. Hey, guy, what's up, son?
Ken Tarmack. Hey, you lost a little weight there.
I know.
Hey.
I know.
Hey, you remember me, don't you?
Of course. You're the man with the plan. What's up, big guy?
I just got in from MCO through ORD.
Gotcha, shooter. Had that same swing last week. So, the last time we met, Chief, I think I forgot to get your card. Do you mind doing me a quick little swap-a-rooney?
Sorry, Ken. They just made me a vice president, and they're redoing my card.
Oh. That's right. That's right, I heard that. That's great news, cowboy. Yeah. I told Tobik he wasn't surprised. We read it in the trades. So I'll tell you what, big-timer, since you're fresh out of cards, how about just giving me your email address? We'll be launching it next week on me, Bambino.
Okay, sure thing, Kenny. Hey, you don't need a pen for this. It's easy. Just email me.
Okay.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
YankeesFanVP @gmail.com.
Gotcha, Chief.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. So you don't have your name in your email. No problem,
Mark. Fine. No problem. I ran into you. My wife was just asking about you yesterday.
No kidding. Well, how is Mrs. The little lady? Mrs. VP, she's got to love that.
Uh-huh.
the old ball and chain's great. Hey, you know, she travels more than me.
I know.
Kenny, listen. I got to skate, but I want to place an order with you now.
Oh.
I got to catch my flight.
Uh-huh.
I'm boarding. So listen, call me and let's do business.
Well, sure thing, guy. But, you know, most of the numbers on my new phone, you won't believe, they got wiped out. I'll tell you what, my SIM card got wet and TPA boarding a prop. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
I can't replace it until I get back to Phoenix. So just give me that number again.
All right. Listen, it's easy. I really got to get going.
Gotcha.
Ready?
Gotcha.
Just call corporate.
Uh-huh.
When you get the automated system,
oh.
Just punch in the first three letters of my last name. That is easy. Hey, just like all the big companies now, we don't have a receptionist anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha, sport. But, you know, before you go, just to make sure I don't accidentally type in the wrong letters, I'm all thumbs. How do you spell that last name again?
Hey, it's easy.
Uh-huh.
It's spelled just like it looks.
Oh.
Just like it looks.
And remember, the W is silent.
That's right. Everybody knows that.
Uh-huh.
Will do, cowboy. Have a safe flight, shooter.
See you, Ken.
Will do.
Oh, boy.
Crap. By the time I have to make a quick phone call. All
right. Is there anything worse than that? Is there anything worse than that situation?
No. I don't think so.
Thankfully, I haven't been in it for a long time because I'm not really seeing people that I don't know very well. Usually if I see someone right now, it's intentional.
So you're not reinforcing the people that you haven't seen in a while. So the next time you do see them, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be worse.
It'll be very awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, well, listening to that, the whole time I'm like, I'm pulling for Kenny. Like, come on. That's a great question. It's like, how are they going to avoid this?
Right.
Every time it's like, well, sorry, cowboy.
Well, and I wrote down, I used to have a special trick, and it's kind of what Kenny does. I say, if I forget, I go, hey, do you spell your name the regular way? And it usually works. It's usually like, oh, no, it's Lauren, but I use a Y instead of an E.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, cool, it's not the regular way. But sometimes they're like, how else could you spell Alex? Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So it doesn't, it's not a guaranteed trick, that one.
Yeah.
I actually will just say, yeah. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Really?
Yeah, I know we slept together like six times, but I really can't. No, I don't.
You. You're an honest person.
Here's what you touch your chest and go, my apologies.
Yeah, that's a sincere.
My apologies. Yeah, yep. I can't remember your full name.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do, though. I have a pretty stern, if you forget someone's name and it's the first time you've met them and it's at a bar or a party, they are not allowed to get mad at you at all.
No.
Right.
It's night one.
Involved? No.
Oh, what's going on? Oh, it's New Year's. I've been drinking since 3 p.m. and you're mad that I forgot your name? Also, I shouldn't have revealed that I drink all day on New Year's.
It's 3 p.m.
I've been throwing back high life since noon 30, all right?
Oh, nice.
That's fun. What are you going to do? So we had a little visit. That was our old pal Marty Bender was the other guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Marty B.
I'm guessing that was his idea.
Yeah, him doing outgoing Marty is always fun. I think we touched on that last time, but yeah, that was him.
But that is just such a real little slice of life thing. It's so relatable, and it just eats you up inside because you've been there.
Yes, and the thing is that Kenny, I don't see Kenny ever forgetting anyone's name, mm-hmm. which makes it even more fun. Yeah.
Sure. If you're like shy and quiet, that makes sense. But if you're like loud and personable, right. oh no.
But he's right. got a backup name always in his pocket. Cowboy, you know, right. Chief.
Yeah, Chief. That's a rough one.
Shooter.
I just had a memory, Jess Hooker.
Yes.
And I think you were part of this.
Okay.
I think soon after this album, when Kenny hit right before the We Just Landed album.
Yeah.
So I think that was December of 07,
okay.
I want to say.
Yeah.
And maybe it was January, February of 08, mm-hmm. we went to the Bahamas.
We did.
And we all landed in the Bahamas. And the half of the whole damn plane says
everybody.
What?
We just landed. Everybody just slowly like.
We just landed.
Yeah.
We just landed.
Yeah.
I just remembered that.
Was that the flight where the landing was a little?
It was a little rough.
It was a little bumpy.
A little firm.
Yeah. And I mean, it was like Super Bowl bounce.
We didn't land once. We landed twice.
Oh wow!
So people were like, "Hey, check this out. When we land, I'm gonna make a joke. Everyone's gonna get it. It's gonna be hilarious." And then a little bit of turbulence. Oh, we just landed. It's pretty funny, isn't it, sweetie?
And then you see a burn up plane off to the side.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were definitely in the Bahamas.
Wait, you literally saw? Is that?
It's off to the side.
Just off to the like in the field next to the airport.
No joke.
I've only been to the Bahamas one time, but the one time I was there, when I flew in and out of an airport that was smaller than a rest stop.
Yeah, that was probably this. Yeah.
So small. There's not even two bathrooms. Yeah, mm-hmm. real tiny.
Mm-mm.
Well, let's call it there.
Okay.
Real fun. See us next week. If you guys could review and subscribe to the podcast, it helps us out. But yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Bits and Pieces.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.